Ding dong. Hello?
This is Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling, your best source for women's wrestling commentary and recaps, and your number one Bayley/Trish Stratus podcast. I'm your semi-basic host, Liz.
I'm Joseph.
And we would like to say thank you, Trish.
I'm the Trish in that Bayley/Trish podcast.
Pro Bayley, pro Trish.
She's my new favorite women's wrestler. Every week I got another one, but I have a feeling it's not going to change for a while.
Even over Roxanne?
Imagine if we had this promo going into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's all I've been thinking all fucking day. It happened last night, less than about 24 hours
ago?
Yeah,
about 24 hours ago.
Basically all day I was just thinking, imagine if it was Becky versus Trish, no belts, grudge match, first ever women's with that promo as a go-home show. Like,
yep.
Be so much better for women's wrestling, but Roman Reigns has to step in, and this is my show, so no women get any good storylines.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, God, she is amazing.
Well, I want to save her for later for our promo breakdown because it was that good. And we had to wait all night for it. So we're going to wait for those podcasts to get to it. We don't have to cover SmackDown because really we're just focusing on the tag titles. And
yeah, Rhea's on Raw right now.
It doesn't look...
I think we have to watch this week because the draft is this week, or is it next week?
Okay, well, I'll confirm that. But yeah, we are going to have to start watching the draft.
I'm not watching much WWE live anymore, but I'll go back and watch it. But yeah, until then, it doesn't matter. And if they're going to keep feeding me Liv Morgan, I'm just not going to watch. Liv Morgan is very much in I've come to terms with, she's... I'll treat her the same way I do many music artists. It's not for me. I don't get it. I can be out. Well, which sucks because I don't get to watch Raquel matches for a while, but she'll have singles
fine,
once here or
fine.
There.
Yeah, no,
not that big a loss.
The
draft, at least with where she's at right now.
The draft starts next week. Yeah, I think they're a very mismatched pair. It doesn't make sense to me, but I figured out why I don't like Liv, and it's just that she's just too young, so it put me in that category of old people who don't get young people music. She's, again, yeah, just not for me. And we said before, we know that she was Alita stan, but it's you should be a Trish. Just be a Trish. After Trish's promo, I don't think she could ever be a Trish.
No,
but yeah, no, she's just too young and corny for me. I am rooting for Chelsea Green and Sonya in these matches.
Yeah.
But there was a match between them two and Candace and
it'd be great
Mia
to,
on
I've
Raw.
I've been thinking it'd be great to just start swapping the belts. Because they're not this unbeatable tag team.
No,
and
yeah.
It would be a good way to, the same way the Hardys and the Dudleys and the...
Edge and Christian
put the tag team belts on the map then, have all these women who are tag teams right now. You're not going to give them any main storylines because that's not what Triple H is doing right now. Let them start trading the belts over and over again and start especially if you have people that can put on somewhat hardcore matches like Liv, who loves to go through tables, and Chelsea, who's from the independent scene.
Candace and Mia, I think, would be a good matchup.
They can go through
for
tables.
That.
Tegan's done it, but you don't want to mess with her too much, but Shotzi's in there. Finally, throw Tegan with Shotzi. You can have a breakup of Shotzi and Natalya. They lose again, and Shotzi just get away from me, you old boat. And then she can find a better tag team partner.
The boat is sinking, and I'm not going down.
Right. They can do so much cool shit, and they can actually start to build these women right now, but not going to happen.
Ideally, that would be perfect. Creating an actual, tag chasing storyline. That's the storyline. You don't have to focus on just Liv and Raquel. Focus on the titles. Let them establish these other tag teams that we have kind of seen here and there.
Somebody has to put the women's tag team titles on the map at some point.
It's not gonna be these two.
It's been pretty high profile here or there when Bayley and Sasha were two belt champions over and over again and then they broke up. But nobody really cares about the belts at this point. They need to start having a legacy and need to start meaning something. And that's where you can do it. And especially do it on Raw or do it. I mean, these big matches will obviously have to happen on a pay-per-view, but start to build their feuds on Raw and on SmackDown.
just like go back and watch some tape.
Yeah, especially if the tag team champions can go back and forth between the two, like.
New Age Outlaws, that was the other one too. But I guess like around that time, like the hard, you're talking about like the hardcore scene where it was tables,
yeah,
fighters,
I mean,
and chairs.
Even they would be around at that point.
But like
too.
DX had those titles too around the same time.
And like, this is, I mean, the 90s were a bunch of title changes. Like that's what made, that's why I loved that shit. But
it's fine like to have your forever women's champs right now because I mean, I can't see
their level.
I can't see Bianca ever losing it at this point. Rhea should hold it forever. So yeah, just like make the tag titles be like that fluid championship.
I think the money is in Bianca losing it to Io.
Yeah, because we got a little taste of that last week.
Did they wrestle much in NXT? Or was were they like passing ships? I gotta go back and look up. If they didn't watch any matches between them, because her winning it would be a surprise after passing on Asuka, which again I was thinking about that today and like, yeah, it's just gonna add more like more to the pop when Asuka finally wins at WrestleMania, so whatever, I've come to terms with that, because if anybody should have retained on that night, it should have been Bianca.
Yeah,
and so like, fine, whatever. And for her to be surprised by Io, and then Io's all of a sudden like the face of Damage Control,
like,
because
what?
She's the champion.
Yeah,
Bayley's. It's only going
to
be
a
matter of time before Bayley
up.
Turns on that.
Like, it's a good
her.
Way to freshen up that storyline, especially since they're not breaking them up.
Right, like you can go into SummerSlam with a triple threat between Damage Control, because Bayley would turn on Io, Dakota would turn on
Bayley,
and then she could either stay. She could like either not partner up with Io, but. Is still going to a triple threat because Bayley could then start trying to drive a wedge between the two of them. Like, I brought you guys together. You weren't even friends before me. She held that title away from you for so long in NXT.
In NXT. Come on, let's not. Dakota had no chance at that point.
Yeah, but it's still the way the story went. So you can start calling back to some of this shit. And it would be great to have a SummerSlam with them in the triple. And it would make Damage Control matter, which they seem to be hell-bent on doing, especially now that Triple H is like, oh, that's how you book factions, watching Dynamite every single week? I think I can do that. And that's exactly what he's doing now. How Triple H is following around a billionaire's kid again, I have no idea.
So really quick, I want to touch on... Okay, so Dakota and Bianca could have been better, but it was still...
It was good.
It was still really good. But I think this definitely did show like Dakota's not ready for that championship picture the way Io would have been, right?
Yeah.
So Dakota last week we noticed when Io won, Bayley was like not super enthusiastic. Obviously not, because she gave up her spot to Io. And so for her to like jump into the ring and start celebrating, like we didn't see that happen. So I think these are the little seeds. Then this week we're seeing Bayley sort of like not get frustrated, but she's like, come on, Dakota. You like, you have her right there. Like if you hear her on the outside of the ring during the match, she's like, come on, you have it. Like, go. She's basically like,
she was pepping her up though. Yeah. She wasn't doing any of that for, you know,
that's true too. And, and so Dakota was saying like afterwards, you know, Io, like, you're the one that's going to have to, like, basically be the one that wins this championship, completely overlooking Bayley, who it's like, because, like, when I was watching it, I'm thinking Bayley's probably in her head, I've beaten Bianca before. Like, why couldn't I just, like we know she's lost against her, too. But also, Io hasn't had the chances that Bayley has, so.
See, and that's the other thing, is you keep Bayley away from Bianca and still get her into the title picture if Io wins.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bianca can go away for a little while, have a rest because she hasn't had one in like 2 years at this point. Give her a little bit of a rest, and when she comes back, Bayley can have won that championship, establish herself over Damage Control because they're rookies.
Yeah.
She have the belt, and then you have another feud with them going into Royal Rumble.
As a Bayley fan, this is encouraging to hear, because at least that's something to look forward to. And I don't know when...
That would be too interesting, because then they'd have to give them time.
I don't know when the Bianca show premieres, but I have a feeling she's going to lose it right around the time that like the finale airs, or... She might be losing it soon, like whenever the show airs, because if I've learned anything from watching Total Divas and just like keeping track like in real time, yeah, it would, they would usually show on the show when they lose, like Nikki when she lost her 300 plus day reign.
But this is a USA show, not a Bravo show, right? Or is it on Bravo?
Oh, it's not a Bravo thing. Total Divas was E.
No.
And the what are they called? Bravo. The Meet the
forgot he was.
Meet the, I don't know what their last names are on the show. I want to say like Meet the Fords because of Montez Ford, but that's not his name. And they have an Instagram account for it. But anyway, they're going to be on USA. So it's all like part of the same umbrella. They're going to like have it air like consecutively with it.
I love them though. I'm much more interested in watching that than
any other couple.
All Access at this point. The fucking Adam Cole and Britt Baker show on the other.
Oh my God.
And the Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti show, like, nah.
Like, I like Sammy and Ty, but they can't carry the whole thing.
I'm happy that they're happy, but like,
I'd like for them to get a Whataburger deal.
Right. Send me some Whataburger, but other than that,
that's where it stops.
Kind of over it.
I wasn't.
You should both go back to WWE and stay away from each other while you're there.
I definitely wasn't about Nikki Bella's wedding special, but I love Total Bellas. I would have. Oh, Miz and Mrs. is classic. That's gonna be actually, if it's on USA, we're probably gonna get a really good show out of Bianca and her husband.
That's what I was thinking, but I don't know. We'll see. Like, not only because I love them so much, but also because I love Miz and Maryse. Which Maryse like should it should be in her contract that she needs to be on Raw at least once a month. I mean, it should be on WWE's contract to its fans that Maryse should be on Raw at least once a month.
I was just thinking, now I'm starting to think maybe the show won't be as entertaining as Miz and Mrs. because Miz is like a total dweeb and showman. Yeah. But Maryse is also like very funny. And I think Bianca is really just nice. I don't know if I think that she's very funny.
Like, I don't know that it can be. But
unless
like
they
that,
have
like their show, but their show's really good.
Unless they have like a Marjo in their back pocket that we don't know about.
Her dad.
Her parents, maybe. Yeah, I know. I need to find out when this premieres. But anyway, I think this is when Bianca's going to lose her title, is right around when the show is airing. I think that's when it's going to happen.
I hope it. Well, I mean, I hope it's something.
Unless.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not like.
Well, we definitely don't have a like clear opponent for SummerSlam for her, even though we're coming up to Backlash. But, you know, all road is leading to SummerSlam. Yeah, I don't see like a clear front runner for her. Rhea still not either. I mean, even though she's kind of getting into it, was Lena, but I think it's because of the whole draft thing not happening yet.
That's why, like, it's not even a point of paying attention right now, because what are they even going to do? Like, if they swap the champions, then swap the belts the same way they did last time, like, corny as hell when they did that too.
Oh, we all know how that went.
There needs to be a champion drafted to an opposite brand playing double duty is all I'm gonna say. I guess there already will be because all these stupid titles are held hostage by one. That was such a dumbass decision. I hope they do that in the brand split and they'll be like, look, this was a bad decision made by a senile old man. So we're going to give each brand its belts back.
Yeah.
And have a tournament for the
another tournament.
One.
Yeah. Why not?
Roman, you have two belts. Choose which one you want to keep. You like red or blue? Roman, you like blue or black?
Okay, so moving on. Yeah, other than that tag team match on Raw and Raquel and Liv being present for it, I guess that was it for that part. But we will return to the Trish promo later. Hold on, everyone. we caught up on AEW. Well, I did anyway. You told me that Taya Valkyrie and Emi Sakura wrestled. I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably check this one out at least.
Caught up on AEW is the only reason that I'm still watching.
You are not
right
watching
now.
Rampage.
I have been going back and watching Rampage. Dynamite is the only reason that I'm watching wrestling.
Yeah,
I love that show.
I like really tune out of Dynamite still. Was it this last week that it was Sky Blue that got painted on? Or is that like two dynamites?
I don't know, because I've like all the last few weeks have blurred into one. I do know that we had a Jamie Hayter run in.
Oh yeah, that happened.
And
okay.
Then we had Britt Baker do her slow motion run in. No, not a slow motion run in. Her very cinematic posed filled run in, which is like just as bad as Jeff Hardy's dancing on the way to save his brother, which he didn't do this time.
She pointed. Is that what happened?
Yeah, or? She knocked someone down and then pointed at her.
Like a Ronda Rousey pointing at her WrestleMania sign.
Yeah, except post. Down and like way slower. Yeah, I know they had all the women in there, but I don't remember what was the circumstance here. And again, this is just like the bad part of AEW is it's the repetitive booking of this. Like, it's pick your baby face, pick your heel, and at the end of it, everybody's going to be in the middle of the ring right now. So like, it was cool the first couple of times we saw it, but now you got to figure something else out, homie.
It's kind of funny seeing them like, no, guys, Britt's a good guy now. And then watching like All Access.
Right.
But it's telling you, she is like
I didn't
new
even
Natty
watch
Neidhart.
This week, but I saw the clip of her and Shivani and I was like, yeah, Shivani, tell her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They brought up the whole Thunder Rosa thing. And who knows? Maybe even Shivani's like on her side.
Right.
But he's saying that he can't publicly be on one person's side, but
well,
everyone needs
way,
to let it go.
Like the same thing with fucking the main guys on that show. Like, just get over it.
Yeah.
If it's not like you being a piece of crap, get over it.
Yeah.
So and so is better than you. So and so has like more crowd at this point in time. That's wrestling. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't see any of like her with the locker room, so I don't know if it's true, but where she's like, oh, we're on hold. And like where she's trying to like speak for the locker room to Shivani, like, get the fuck out of here. There's so many like grown up women that if they had an issue, they could bring it. And if it was everybody that had the issue, they would all present it at that point.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, even if Saraya's like the new kid, she has like we've seen her do that actually on Total Divas. And that's like what I appreciated too about like their locker room is they would talk their shit and they would just eventually like they would bring it up to that person like face to face and it would be super uncomfortable, but then everybody would move on and get on with their lives. And that's not what's happening here. Like, they're basically turning this Thunder Rosa grudge into a storyline for All Access, which is kind of lame. But anyway,
what would be cool and twist that they could put in this storyline that nobody would see coming, because it's like, yeah, Britt's gonna be face. No, she's with the outsiders. And like, I saw somebody float the idea because she was wearing black and green pants. They're like, oh, she's green, she's with them. Like, that would actually be an interesting twist because her turning her back on all this shit, like, it would just be Britt being Britt.
Yeah.
You've always torn down all the women who are trying to build this division, right? Like, as much as you, oh, this is the division I built, like, what division?
Yeah,
it's the same shit every single week for a reason, because we don't have any of these baby faces that can actually carry matches on their own other than Willow, and we can't have Willow out here every week because she's got to do Ring of Honor duties every now and then.
Ah.
So it's just silly. Like, I don't know.
What are the chances of the Garcia twins coming over?
I think they're coming.
You think so?
Ever...
I don't know.
Until they're like...
I don't listen to their podcast,
until
so I don't know
Daniel
how
Bryan's
they are.
Not wrestling, I will always think that they're going to come in. I don't either. I don't know anything. I haven't read any rumors or anything like that. It's just like, why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they? Well, I mean,
to print some more merch.
I've checked out a couple of their podcast episodes, and they're just like, it's really sad. They're just like a Bachelor Nation type podcast at this point.
See, that's corny.
Like, it's super corny. I hate it.
You know who also was probably doing that recently and didn't even have a podcast?
Who?
Two other Hall of Famers. They're back. I mean, maybe one of them shouldn't have come back. Maybe Bree shouldn't come back.
Hey,
but
thank you, Trish. She did us a favor.
Trish could inspire
Nikki.
Trish inspires Nikki to come back. Greatest of all time. Get out of here, Jericho, Shawn Michaels. Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. Well, we already agree on that. But let's talk about Taya and her match against Emmy, because This was wrestling. This was a professional wrestling match. This was so good. And I don't know how old Taya is, but
I mean, he's old.
Both of them are like such like veterans, and man, they look so good. They just throw a lot of these other girls out of the water.
Yeah. I just fucking love Taya's look. I always have. I can't wait for her to get that belt. There's no way you can keep that belt on Jade much longer. Like, where is she going to go just holding this belt around? And especially the last year or so, it's been doing nothing. I know she wants to fight Mercedes, but Mercedes is in New Japan. She's not coming. Tony doesn't care about women's wrestling that much. Sorry about it. So hand the baton to somebody who can actually make that belt mean something.
Yeah.
I think she can put on good matches that go along. Not that Jade's matches haven't been great, but like, that's not the appeal of it. Even if Jade put on a 20-minute match, like, it wouldn't even be the appeal. Nobody goes to go see Bill Goldberg put on a 20-minute match. People go to see Goldberg put on a 2-minute match, and that's what the prototype you are.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see, well, nobody other than me and, like, a select people on Twitter want to see Wardlow go 30 minutes. They want to see Wardlow powerbomb somebody 6 times and get out of there.
And that's what Jade does.
Right.
Yeah. But like, now I think it's time to freshen up that title a bit. So, yeah, I didn't realize that Jade has the same finisher as Taya.
Yeah. I don't know if it was her finisher before or in other places. I don't remember that.
Taya's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that Valhalla one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what, is it called Road to Valhalla, Ride to Valhalla, something like that. But, yeah.
It's too long of a name for a finisher.
But that's hers. Because she's a Valkyrie. And, yeah, I didn't realize that there was like a dispute for this finisher too. You said that Jade was trying to sue her for it, like a cease and desist on that move.
Yeah, stupid ass Mark Serling was gonna had like a whole lawyer come out, and she was gonna serve her. And then it was like weeks ago on Rampage. See, I've been watching Rampage.
Jade's like, hey, I know that.
Well, like
I'm...
before them came out, Jade, stupid Layla, Mark Serling, and then like whoever Mark Serling's legal preparer was, even though I think he's supposed to be like the legal assistant. Whatever. He offloaded the legal duties to somebody else who ended up getting that move done on her whenever she tried to serve Taya for her cease and desist.
That's really funny. Like, I know I've only been wrestling for 2 years, but this is my finisher.
Like, Taya's already making
that, I don't know who you are.
She's already making that belt like relevant again because I like that storyline. Even if it's
so
regulated to Rampage
yeah.
and nobody's really watching it.
Oh, man, that's too funny. Yeah, so after the match, Jade came out. Or during the match, Jade came out. But afterwards, Jade and Taya get into it. Jade does the finisher on her.
Right. And then pins her for no reason.
Because she's in robot mode. She's an autopilot.
No, like when you wrestle, you do the finisher and then you pin. That's what I was. That's what Bryan Danielson said. You do your finisher and then you pin.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was kind of funny. It was very awkward. Really weird.
That's not how you end a segment like that. You do it, and then you stand over them with the belt, which I think she did later. And Taya has having none of it. The way she hit that
she
belt out of her
it.
Head, I'm like, oh, she's great. She's got to
so
get
good.
That belt. She's got to get it, Tony.
Give it to her. Give us what we want.
Make it matter.
Agreed. So NXT Spring Break-In is... an event on NXT or is it a premium event?
A little bit.
Okay.
It's on next Wednesday, so it's an event.
Next Wednesday, next Tuesday.
Tuesday, whenever they air.
Well, we got a couple of matches announced. One of them is going to be Indy defending her title, and the other would be Lyra and Cora because like they've been building up their
feet.
Oh, I did. Who is it going to be?
Those BJ brothers versus...
that I have no idea what that
what
means.
What are their faces? The one who's dating the BJ brother.
Oh, okay.
Kiana
James.
Girl with the bar.
Kiana James and Fallon.
Yeah. Girl with the poor family bar. Yeah, they're having a mixed tag match, which honestly I could care less about.
Yeah.
Like, any story live involving those two guys, I am instantly out. Which
I tried to pay attention.
I did too, because I really like Kiana James, and as soon as she was in that storyline, I was like, all right, that's enough.
What are the stipulations, or like what's at stake here?
It's just
another bar, Kiana's business, that guy's outfit. Because Kiana James made that guy change into like a more fashionable outfit, which good for him.
Being himself.
He is being himself. She's
Can we stop talking about the storyline? Get to the real meat of the episode and address Indy's cowardice.
Let's talk about Roxanne and Zoe Stark's match.
Match of the year candidate. I don't... Well, so I was done watching this show. I was like, I'm going to watch the Trish promo and that's it.
Yeah.
Done watching this company. I'm going to watch the Trish promo and then I guess I'm watching next week. And then I see the fucking graphic come up right before Raw. It's like Zoe Stark's facing Roxanne Perez. My motherfucking Shawn Michaels, you piece of shit. You're reading my other account that's not Take Under. And you're like, oh, I know exactly how I'm going to get this butthole to watch it again.
This was such a good match.
This match was for me. I'm the hypest on both of these two.
I think I looked over at you at one point. You were just like grinning like a little kid watching wrestling. So... it was so good.
Roxanne's so good.
They're both...
If Roxanne ever learns to talk like Trish, it's over
it's
for
over.
Everybody.
She
everybody.
She could benefit from going to John Cena's acting school.
Like,
that's what she needs, really. Like,
it's over for
she's
this
so close.
Industry. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Undertaker, Sting, MJF, all these jabronis, get out of here.
I don't think anybody could. I was going to say, I don't think anyone could ever top him. But it would like Roxanne cut her promo, which is kind of funny because she's like
so young. She's going to reinvent herself so many times.
I hope so.
If she can,
if she's smart enough,
she
will.
If she gets competent on that mic, it's over for everybody.
Yeah. So the promo leading up to the match was just kind of painful to get through. But
I didn't see the promo. I don't think.
Oh yeah, that's why. Well, that's why I was saying.
Oh no.
I was like, she could totally
leading
benefit
to
from
the match announcement. You're right.
Yeah, I was like, she could totally benefit from an acting coach because the inflection on her words are just like
wrong,
very wrong.
Right. That's what it's been like since Ring of Honor too. It's like,
and it's
so
fine
young, though. Like you can
it's
figure
fine.
It out. That's what I had to keep reminding myself.
I'm not trashing it. I'm just saying like she needs to get an acting coach and she's going to kill it.
I mean, I'm sure that's what they're doing.
All
NXT.
Around.
We know they have promo classes.
Oh, we know they
like
do.
That,
but I'm
so
saying
like,
she needs to step outside. She needs to go to like some dumb little improv
lessons.
Class or something. She needs like to go to the John Cena school of promo work.
You're a special talent. Like,
yes.
You need to put in the extra work where you're rough so that you can be a generational talent.
Bailey,
not that,
listen to
not
us.
That she's not already in the ring.
I'm saying Bailey, listen to us. Remember, we said Bailey could benefit from learning from John Cena's promos. Go to ask who his acting coach is, and look at her. Look at her running the women's division during the pandemic.
Poor eating pants over it.
I'm
and
just saying.
Everybody she works with is like Bailey's underrated. The only person who doesn't seem to think so is Triple H.
And
quote unquote Triple H, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Vince McMahon.
And Roxanne, I think as soon as she does that, like she's going to be unstoppable.
See, this NXT wasn't too bad. There were a couple of like the men's division is still rough, but there were a few parts with the men's division that I was like, oh shit, this is good. And I think Triple H is back there because Sean is like, come on, we can book this one together. It's okay that Vince took your shows away.
So I was thinking the opposite where I like there's so many good women because Zoe and Roxanne, brutal chemistry right there. When you bring in people like Maiko too, but then you also have Lyra, you have Alba Fire, Kaylee Ray, Indy. There's so many good women that I just want to watch them. Oh, Tiffany, obviously.
Right. I'm still.
I just want
it
to be
a
women's
should
promotion.
Be a women's show. Like, I'm definitely still of the opinion that it should be a women's
okay,
show.
But yeah, so Roxanne
hasn't
and
been as bad, like,
Roxanne and Zoe, they're just Roxanne is so smooth in her movements, and Zoe is just so good. Like, ugh. They just worked so well together. They made everything look so cool. I'm not going to say clean. I'm just saying like everything was so impactful. Their reversals, friggin' Roxanne did what, sliced bread off the turnbuckle and kept Zoe in her headlock. I hadn't seen that before. Maybe it's happened, but I've never seen that. Definitely Eva Marie, when she had sliced red, didn't do that. So there was like just different movements in this match that were just so smooth, the way that they would like reverse it on each other. Like, this was wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, this would be like a counter to Taya and Emmy. Like, which is funny because, like, they're like, how many years of experience do they have?
I mean, even between all of them.
I'm saying, like, this is just
21, but she's been wrestling for 7 years. Yeah. Like, and it shows. They're just all, I mean, they're just both so good. And, like, that was such a good match. It's definitely going to be a match of the year for my NXT for sure. And it was just a contenders match.
I would like to see them have like a real feud. It wasn't a
contenders match, I don't think.
It wasn't a contenders match. It's just like Roxanne wrestling her because Zoe was talking shit. If it's going to
happen, I don't want to see it happen on NXT. I want Zoe to go to the main roster right now.
Do you think that's going to happen soon?
I think somebody's got to eat these pins and make people look good. And they're not going to do my tag team division thing. So might as well let Zoe pull a good match out of Live and drag Raquel to a good match, and yeah, or let Raquel put on a good match with a good opponent.
I think it'd be cool if both Roxanne and Zoe move up and they are a tag team together.
Nah, Roxanne's not ready. She needs a little more polish because when she comes up, she's got to be there.
Yeah, that's true. But...
and like,
I just want to see more of Zoe there and Roxanne is a together.
Future where the main event of WrestleMania is Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair versus Roxanne for two belts, and Roxanne wins.
I guess.
Pop Rocks, Rhea onto Bianca. Pin them both. Roxanne wins.
That's funny. Well, okay. So Indy Hartwell comes in after Roxanne beats Zoe with Pop Rocks. And she
pretends like she's going to step up.
She tells her, you know, that she's going to offer her title shot at Spring Break-In. And Roxanne's telling her, it's funny because like Roxanne grabbed the mic after the match and we were like, no, stop it. But Indy came out and Roxanne is like telling her, you know, I'm your friend inside and outside. I'm your friend inside and outside of the ring. But when it comes to that title, like all bets are off. Like I'm going for it. And then friggin' Tiffany strutting in like Sandy from the end of Grease is like, whoa, what's happening? Like, I should be the one next in line.
Look at y'all and look at me. I'm the Charlotte.
Speaking of Charlotte, yeah, because you made a comment about the Baileys and the Charlottes.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, Indy's gonna win. And I'm like, there's Baileys and there's Charlottes. And despite their size,
Indy's the Bailey.
And then
Roxanne is the Charlotte.
Then we saw the actual
and then show. Charlotte came in. This is Tiffany.
Roxanne is the Kenny is the Will Ospreay right now.
So basically Indy is just saying like that, yeah, she can beat both of them. So she'll take them both on in a triple threat at Spring Break-In.
She's never a coward. Beat Roxanne one on one.
So that's why
as soon as Tiff showed up, she's like, "Yes, I'll beat you both." All I gotta do is pin this loser.
You know what? And it's a good thing that Indy recognizes it and is smart enough to be like, "I'll add you into the match."
See, that's
good thinking,
learning from
Indy.
Bailey.
Keep that title as long as you can.
I have a feeling Bailey had an AirPod in her ear, Cyrano de Bergerac in her. She's just like telling her every single thing.
Hey, it worked, didn't it?
Right. I mean, everybody should listen to Bailey.
Everybody should. Cora Jade and Gigi Dolin had their match. And this is just another result of Cora running her mouth. And Gigi was like, all right, let's fight. Not a super, super memorable match.
Both are weak. And Cora's coming back.
So afterwards, Lyra's music hits. Everybody thinks she's going to like come up down the ramp. But no, she emerges from like that weird balcony.
Oh, you didn't see JC's promo.
Oh, that's right. Because during this match, JC was trying to interfere in the match. Yeah. Well, JC cost Gigi the match, but the promo that she cut in the parking lot, yeah. Whoa.
So.
Okay, well, first of all, she made it out of that parking lot alive.
That's because everybody's afraid of her. You hear she was saying, everybody's that like, was... Jesus, is so mean. I'm not going to try and kidnap that person.
That was She'll like make the me meanest kill thing myself. She's basically saying that Gigi at 17 left behind her family. And I was like, oh, this sounds like when Kaylee Ray was cutting her promo on Tony Storm for running away, right?
Five people watched you. NXT UK.
That's a, hey, there's but
anybody
you know
to try to become, it's Kaylee Ray.
Money promo right there that Kaylee Ray did. But yeah, JC's saying that she left her family at 17 and left her 7-year-old brother alone with her abusive mom. Oh, her drug addict abusive mom. Damn.
Are you saying damn about Gigi or JC?
JC for bringing it up.
Gigi for doing it?
Not Gigi for doing it, but I'm telling you, I am a big fan of my big fat American gypsy wedding, which Gigi was on. I'm not surprised if her mom was a drug addict.
Oh, you know these people.
Yeah, Pat Baby.
I didn't know that. I mean, I did, but I forget that.
I'm pretty sure one of their like uncles died of an OD. Or also could have been murdered. I'm not really sure on the details. Don't take my word for this one. But damn, to bring that up, that's, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I guess everybody in the parking lot. So whoever was going to kidnap JC Jane heard that and was like, she'd say that about her friend to the country. No, she's too dangerous.
No, the people who kidnapped her once. And she made them want to drive off a cliff, and they were like, no, let's put her back. She's the one person who ever got put back. Didn't get recovered, like, from a different spot. They put her back right where they took her.
And now she's terrorizing Gigi with her words.
Yeah, because she's the one person who doesn't have to fear the parking lot.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was pretty mean. Damn. Also, really sad if that is the case.
I'm sure Gigi was like, hey, say this stuff. None of it's true, but
imagine.
Who fucking cares? Imagine if
it's not true and her mom's just like, what the fuck?
Mom doesn't watch wrestling. Mom's like, look, I love you, but I'm never going to watch wrestling. And she's like, fine. When you're a fucking drug addict.
Okay, so. After Gigi lost, Cora's standing in the ring. Lyra emerges from that weird balcony in the NXT auditorium. And
the fixture. It can't be moved. It's load bearing.
I just discovered that this thing existed in its like permanent state this year. I'm still like coming to terms with that, okay? Let me... like, give me a break here. So yeah, Lyra has like all this cool smoke, and she's basically just telling Cora, you know, like if she's basically just saying that she's gonna basically beat her up at Spring Break In, which I'm very excited for.
I hope so. She's back, so she might. I don't know how they're gonna play that. I don't want to see Cora win, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. I don't think she's gonna.
We'll see.
I just want Lyra to have her better finisher.
Not going to happen while the champion.
I guess, you know what? She hasn't used the same one in the last few months.
She should have just done the Eclipse.
She should just do that. Oh, that one. Yeah, but her scissor kick or whatever that she does for the top, so cool. Anyway, I'm excited for that. Okay, so NXT. Really quick... I mean, we didn't watch Rebellion, but we did see that Mickie James had to abdicate her belt. Well, this was before the pay-per-view. She was going to have her triple threat with Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo.
Well, she had to get cleared.
And she wasn't cleared in time. Man, no interim champ for Impact.
Yeah, that really sucks.
But Deonna's your new champ.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that. I need to watch the match.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, the company's going to go nowhere with Steve Macklin as a champion.
Yeah, you told me who that and man really was.
Exactly. Like, what they need to do. Wait, what? If you're going to do anything, put Deonna on everything. The same way they main evented these women.
Yeah.
She needs to be the face of that company.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah. I agree.
More so than her husband. Because
whenever I watch that show, because it's not available on demand, whenever I have to watch it live, it's like having to, it's a chore having to sit through it just to catch the women's matches.
I mean, the matches that they put on are good. And they do have some talent in there.
But I was just saying, like, when it's on at a certain time in the evening, I have other stuff to do. Yeah, so running back and forth trying to, like, catch the match is very, very hard. So if I know that there's a guarantee that Deonna's just going to be the face and all over that show, well, then cool. Yeah, I'll sit through. I'll neglect familial duties and watch the whole thing.
Tasha's here, too. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. The knockouts division is the only one that rivals. That was what I was going to say about NXT before, too, is like, NXT has, the women's division has such a resiliency in that, like, it can get plundered and raided with, like, Raquel and Shotzi and all these people moving up, and then it kind of faltered for a little bit, but now that all these people have shown how good they are, like, we can keep going. And also they brought in Roxy, and then they still have Zoe there. Like, it's crazy how good they keep on returning to.
Yeah.
As an average, and the knockouts are the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed. That's why. They just need to be the face of that promotion. I don't care that Nick Aldis is back. Other than
that's
like
Mickey James's
super,
husband.
Yeah. Other than super Mr. James fans, I don't know anybody else who really does. Mickey James seemed to be mostly more excited than a lot of fans. So like, Deonna, Jordan, go. Tasha, go.
Okay. Now, let's get into Trish and that promo, because I thought, because they were like, I think it was Becky saying that she wasn't going to be on Raw, which, yeah, duh, because big old baby. Of course you're not going to be on Raw. After what Trish did to you, made you look like a chump, made you look like a Bailey.
Beat up by an old lady?
Oh, man. I wouldn't want to show up to Raw either. But Trish Stratus comes out in cowboy gear,
that
cowboy hat.
Was everything.
From that, her little music plays, and it's just that white background with her silhouette with that very like discernible hat, her trench coat, and those knee high boots. That, like, yeah, I went and bought a pair at Payless because I was like, ooh, Trish Stratus boots. I need some back in the day. And I'm going to go out and buy some more knee high boots like Trish Stratus after this Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I was.
So just that alone. Just
a boy again for a moment there. That entire entrance.
Just that alone. Okay, so yeah, she's getting the booze. Well, I don't know. I think those were piped in. The crowd noise was definitely turned down because she wasn't yelling on the mic. She was just speaking directly into it in her, like, that tone she used.
Was it turned down or was it?
I'm telling you, the way she was speaking into the mic, she wasn't like trying to overpower the crowd. They didn't matter to her. She was speaking into the mic, into the camera, because she was making everyone at home listen, because she didn't like stop to acknowledge the what chants that you could kind of hear, and those were like getting covered over with booze. That's why I'm saying, like, Trish was there to deliver the message, which she did in that tone, like that whatever whisper tone she was doing, and it was making everybody lean into their TVs to hang on every word she said. It was great. And she started it off with the history lesson that
Remember
she was going to give everybody.
When she left and then she wrestled Charlotte, holy shit, she still got it.
Then she comes out and cuts this promo.
5 seconds into her talking.
She still got it. So she's saying.
Yeah, she still got it.
She's saying she's starting with the history lesson. When she was in the women's division, at that time, the women's division was a joke. And it was. Like, there's no arguing that. And she said that she single-handedly changed that by bringing credibility to the division. Okay.
You're right.
First of all, two. Like, Molly, Jacqueline, Jazz. Like, I mean, okay. Obviously. Okay. So yeah, she single-handedly brought credibility to that division. People are like, what about Trish and Lita? And she's saying, no, Trish and Lita. It wasn't we. It was me.
Yeah. She was the draw. She was the MJ. She was the Roman Reigns. Deal with it.
Without her, there would be no Revolution, no women main eventing at WrestleMania. And so that's when she calls out the audience again too. She's like, all of you were chanting during that triple threat with Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda, this is awesome. She's like, you should have been chanting, thank you, Trish, which agreed.
I was. Were we not doing that?
I'm pretty sure. Well, we were.
I mean, I didn't care for two of the three people in that match, so I was.
And so then she also like brings up that like Becky would have you believe that the women's revolution started with the Four Horse Ladies, which offense taken because Bailey is in it. We are a pro Bailey podcast.
Not anymore.
But half.
House divided. Pledge my allegiance to Lady Stratus.
And so she's like saying that, yeah, like she's calling Becky a joke, basically. She's saying, does Becky actually believe her own hype? And, you know, we're here at home like, yes.
Yes, this is what we're trying to tell everybody. Like somebody got into our backlog.
Because in real life, Becky was like, hey, Trish, you should listen to this podcast.
Right. She's like, hey, you should listen to these two dopes. And then she heard it like traveling back and forth between WrestleMania and all this like weekend. Good finally got good to point. It. She was like, holy shit. Nobody's listening to these two dopes.
So Trish is saying that, yeah, like that's why she came back. Like she let everything slide and she came back. She like cozied up with Becky and she's like saying like, and can you believe Becky never thanked me? Not a single thank you, Trish, for opening the doors. That's all Becky had to do.
I mean, thank you for not.
Because we got this promo. Because we
maybe
have Trish
stay
back.
Around a lot longer. But
and then she said, like,
fucking angry.
Trish is saying that she
probably
even.
The first thing Becky said to her when she saw her.
I see she better. Day. Thank you, Trish. Thank you for opening up all these doors.
Showed up to like the performance center.
She's like,
one
Trish.
Day when Becky was like just there for a tryout. And she just held her and like told her that entire speech verbatim.
It's going to be because of you, Trish, that I am going to main event WrestleMania one day. Okay. But anyway, Becky totally buys into her own hype. She even convinced Lita. And, you know, Trish is saying that, yeah, like there goes Lita dancing in side by side with Becky, like her sidekick. And she's saying like, I'm no sidekick. And then she's like, and for all of you guys like that don't get it, yes, it was me that took out Lita. Like I put her out of her misery. If you haven't figured that one out.
Yeah, I wonder if it was supposed to be that way, or if she was supposed to say it earlier and then like remembered halfway through, like, oh fuck, I gotta say that it was me that took out Lita. She's just like, oh yeah, you guys are stupid. It was me, duh.
No, that promo flowed so well. It was like, perfectly placed. Yeah.
I don't know. I could see where it would be like a insert at, like off the cuff.
No. That's why if you go back and listen to it again, it's such good transitions there. So yeah, she confirms that she took out Lita because she wanted to make it very clear that Trish is the only person who cost Becky those titles. She got Lita out of the picture, so that way it is all on Trish. I'm the one that did this to you, Becky. They lost last week, or yeah, the week before. Was it the week before? How long has it been at this point? It feels forever. Anyway, so she's like, she confirms like when Becky was like, you know, patting her on the back, and she's like, yeah, you like told me, good try, Trish. We'll get him next time, friend. She's like, I'm not your friend.
Not your buddy, guy. So Canadian. I'm not your guy, buddy.
And then she's like, and everybody's like, boo. She's like, oh, you don't like that? You don't like that? I don't care. I don't care. She's like, I'm not going to let Becky or you rewrite history.
She said her stupid little accent. The best line of the whole fucking thing.
I'm saying the cherry on the top was her saying,
I am not a nostalgia act. I am not your childhood fantasy. And I sure as hell am nobody's sidekick.
First of all, I'd like to
apologize to Trish.
Apologize to our new listener. No, I'd like to explain myself to my new.
You can apologize to her. That's fine. You say sorry for every bad thought you've had of Trish.
I did not say. I will not apologize. I did not say that she was a nostalgia act. Triple H's shitty woman's nostalgia booking is crap. And this should have been going into WrestleMania. We bring it right back to the beginning of this episode. This promo should have been going into WrestleMania. It was so good, and it would have brought more people to watching that show.
But still, I apologize if we ever made Trish think that we thought she was a nostalgia
actor.
Because we
saying.
Know that she's
I would
not.
Like to explain myself, because that's not.
You can say you're sorry, ma'am. But yeah, that cherry on the top line. I'm not your nostalgia act. I'm not your childhood fantasy. Like,
I mean, if we're talking about rewriting history, can't.
Anyway,
not anymore.
And then
now you're my manhood.
Now mic drop from Trish, and she heads out the ring. What a promo. I want to see her every week. I don't know what's going on with Canada's Got Talent. Is it over?
Well, did they find all the talent in Canada?
Edge
is gone.
Know.
Kevin's gone.
Trish
Sandy's
is gone.
Trish is gone.
Taya's gone.
Jericho's not there.
Chelsea's gone.
I think we got everything we need. There's a whole bunch of Canucks in the NHL. I think we got everybody we need. I think we're fine. We can.
I think the
Trish.
Show's over.
Yeah, I think we can keep Trish for a little while. We're gonna jump the shark soon and start giving it to Canadian mooses or something.
Does the winner of Canada's Got Talent also get a gift card to the Brick?
Yeah, but it's not 50. It's only 20. It used to be 50, and then they started scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, so if Big Brother Canada reference. Okay, so. That was this week. I feel pretty good.
Man, I hated wrestling until about
24 hours ago.
Midway through Raw. I mean, whatever the timestamp on Trish coming at is.
Yeah. Let's say about 20 some hours ago. But cool. Let's go watch that again. And you go watch some more women's wrestling.
If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, subscribe or follow, and share with your friends who love wrestling. Also, you can click on the link in the description to leave us a voice message, but not like any creepy ones. Okay, fine, a little creepy, but tone it down.